The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are David Fannin of KMCD Radio in Fairfield and Doris Welly of the Dickinson County News. The first question will come from KMCD's David.
Merry Christmas, Senator.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to both of you, and thank you for participating in this program.
I see that the House approved a nearly $700 billion tax cut package today and are preparing to vote on a $1 trillion spending plan despite the impact that more spending is going to have on the deficit. And while the House makes plans to increase deficit spending, the Senate approves a bill to crack down on credit card waste and abuse. Do you understand, Senator, how the American public can be a little irritated as to how you can spend trillions while introducing a bill in the Senate to save millions? And will you please comment on the House bill as it comes to you for review and a vote, and the importance of the credit card bill that you have introduced?
Yeah. First of all, on the credit card situation, it might save millions as opposed to the billions and trillions we're spending elsewhere. Part of it isn't just the money that's going to be saved. Part of it is that the law is being violated when credit cards are misused. And that's what we're trying to correct through my legislation. Let me put in perspective what's wrong with the spending bill. And that doesn't say how I'm going to vote, because I've still got to get through about 500 pages of the 1,000-page bill to tell you whether I'm going to vote for it or not. I very much approve of the tax provisions of it, so I'm talking about the expenditure side. So on the expenditure side, for the years 12, 13, 14, and 15, we basically were within a few billion dollars, and I mean very few billion dollars one way or the other, right around a frozen budget of $3.5 trillion for each of those 3 years. So what's wrong with this was a decision that was made about maybe 6 weeks ago, to up above what we call the sequestration level of 12, 13, 14, 15, another $40 billion. That's basically what's wrong with it. Because if we're going to get out of this hole, we're going to have more flat spending for a long period of time. So, I'm not sure that's even the main reason for voting against it if I do. But there were, at the last minute, negotiations wasn't over dollars. The last minute negotiations were over restrictions on what bureaucracy could spend their money on. And we had about 25 things that we thought that were egregious regulations put out by administrations that we wanted to stop. And one of those is very dear to all people living in Iowa, because there's a regulation put out by EPA that would have EPA regulate about 97% of the land in Iowa, which means that maybe someday you might even need a permit to just farm. So an amendment that says something like none of the money in this appropriation bill can be used by EPA to carry out waters of the U.S. isn't in there. And that's irritating, because those are very bad regulations. That's what I'm concentrating on more. Doris?
Okay, do you believe that the 2014 Farm Bill will be reopened? And if so, is there any bipartisan chance to re-tighten those loopholes?
You know what? There's a big deal made about 2 months ago when they were going to take $3 billion out of crop insurance, which didn't come out in the end, because we fought it under the attitude that the Farm Bill should not be reopened. But in this appropriation bill, if there was a agriculture reason for voting against it, it would be that they are opening up something we did away with 2008, the re-implementation of what you call generic certificates. And that's going to cost about $520 million over the next 10 years, about $52 billion a year. So the people that, including myself, that were making a big deal about the Farm Bill not being opened up, now when I alerted them to the fact that this generic certificate was being snuck in there, they didn't do anything about it. So I think there's reason to say the Farm Bill should be reopened and to accomplish some of the closings of loopholes you're talking about. And one of those loopholes, as far as I'm concerned, would be to make sure that we had a hard cap on the amount of money that one farmer could get, so we don't subsidize big farmers to get bigger or increase the cost of land and stuff of that nature because of the unfair competition from big farmers getting subsidized. And remember that from my standpoint, generic certificates is just a scheme to get around what very weak payment limits that are in the bill already. Back to David.
Could you comment on the proposed DuPont-Dow Chemical merger, and do you think that it has a chance for federal approval?
It'll be up to the Justice Department to determine whether or not it's a violation of antitrust laws. And if it's not a violation of antitrust laws, it'd be approved. From my perspective, I'm going to be listening to farmers of Iowa. I know that they felt bad about the Syngenta-Monsanto merger, that it wasn't good. And if the farmers of Iowa come out of opposed to it, we might at least have a hearing in the Committee on Judiciary that I chair. If that comes from the grassroots, we could have that hearing anyway, but particularly if it comes from the grassroots request. The other thing is, I always, not just on this merger, but on all mergers that affect Iowa, I generally write a letter to the Justice Department letting them know that I'm reviewing what their decision is, and I expect that the antitrust laws are to be enforced. David? Or Doris, I'm sorry.
Okay, there is a lot of talk in this part of Iowa, because there are so many senior citizens, about the Congress possibly voting itself a pay raise when the Social Security recipients did not even receive a cost of living increase. Do you believe that will be voted upon? And if so, how would you vote?
I would vote against the pay raise. And I think that senior citizens don't give themselves enough credit for the power they have around here. And that's generally summed up in this statement, that Congress wouldn't have guts enough to increase its own pay when it doesn't give senior citizens their cost of living raise. Now, you understand, though, that the cost of living raise isn't something that Congress votes for senior citizens. Prior to 1972, occasionally, whenever it was done, and it was done occasionally, Congress did vote those increases. But in 1972, they felt it was wrong for senior citizens to be at the behest of Congress, political will to do that, so they made it automatic. Anytime the cost of living is over 2%, then there's a cost of living raise. But now, for the last 12 months, it's been 0.5%, so that exception kicks in. And out of 42 years, I think there's only been three or at most four times that there hasn't been a cost of living increase. And seniors ought to appreciate the fact that we have low inflation, because if there's anybody that's hurt by inflation more than anybody else, it's senior citizens and other people, or people that are below the poverty guidelines. They're hurt the worst. David?
You said that Puerto Rico's fiscal problems are the result of too much government spending and mismanagement, and have introduced legislation to address the debt crisis there. Senator Hatch said the dysfunctional bureaucracy has been years in the making. Could you explain how the legislation that you've proposed will address Puerto Rico's problems while respecting their autonomy?
Sure. They've had bad fiscal policy for the last 10 years, I would say, at least. And they got 25% of their people on the public payroll, just as one example of mismanagement. From that standpoint, the way we would solve it would be to make sure that there's a control board like we had for Washington, D.C., to make sure that when they don't get their own fiscal house in order, this financial control board would be able to order them to do it and get the job done. That would only be after the legislature had a chance and didn't do it. But we're very hesitant to think that the legislature will do it, so that's why we have the Financial Control Board. Thank you, David and Doris, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa. So thank you all very much.